Some education reformers ask, what if public schools in this country operated like a supermarket? Consumers, students and parents, could shop for national and local brands of schools. This idea so intrigued entrepreneur Chris Whittle 12 years ago that he set out to create his own brand of schools and run them at a profit. Today, his Edison schools rank as the nation's 35th largest school system. But as a money-making venture, the company is hardly making the dean's list. NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports.
Edison Schools, the company, has been pummeled this year. Its stock is selling for pennies. There's been a federal investigation into the company's accounting practices. Stockholders are suing, and Edison recently reported $86 million in losses this fiscal year. But through it all, Chris Whittle, Edison's founder and CEO, has been defiant.
First of all, we're not broke, okay? The company has the dollars it needs. We're going to post our first operating profit as a company in the year that we're in.
And the vast majority of schools Edison operates, says Whittle, are doing just fine. Whittle, in his mid-50s, sits at a table in his elegant Manhattan headquarters with a bird's-eye view of Fifth Avenue. His slightly long, tossed black hair, trademark bow tie, and almost unnatural exuberance have made him one of the most recognizable and intriguing characters in education today. Whittle made millions delivering captive audiences, including school children, to advertisers. His most profitable venture, Channel One, piped TV commercials into 40% of the nation's schools. The more business Whittle did with public schools, the greater his urge to fix them. So in 1991, he set out to pull together the best ideas and practices in education into a school design that could be replicated again and again. Investors balked at Whittle's original idea for a chain of private for-profit schools, so he went after contracts with state and local education officials to operate struggling public schools. The central question today is, has Edison turned these schools around?
The answer is yes. And that is the difference, and I want to show it to you.
Whittle pulls out an IBM laptop.
Here's, I'm going to show them to you right
here. Different.
He pushes a few keys and two graphs appear. One shows Edison students' scores on state tests. The other shows how Edison students compare to kids across the country.
These are the 50 largest systems.
Among the 50 largest school systems in this country, no one has matched Edison's gains, says Whittle. Even in places where Edison has taken on the toughest, most impoverished students, Whittle says standardized test scores are up. Testing experts who've analyzed Edison's data, though, have come away perplexed, unable to say one way or the other whether the company's interpretation of the data supports its claims.
Edison schools are, some are good, most are mediocre, and some have been pretty much failures.
Heidi Steffens is an expert on school privatization and senior policy analyst with the nation's biggest teachers union, the National Education Association.
Many of Edison's early schools were really quite good because there was a lot of time and attention lavished on them. And when there were problems in those schools, people from New York headquarters went out and really worked to solve them.
But as Edison grew from 4 to 50, then over 100 schools, Stefan says the company realized it could not clone its best schools.
So the fact that Edison wasn't able to do it, I think, tells us something about what it takes to make a good school, and that it's not as simple as putting Starbucks coffee shops or McDonald's or any other form of commerce down.
Whittle, of course, is loath to make such a comparison, and he bristles at the suggestion that the company has somehow hurt public education.
If you look at the ledger for the last decade, Edison has made an enormous investment in public education. All the dollars have been flowing towards the schools and away from Edison. And no one with any intellectual honesty can say that this company is a get-rich-quick scheme.
Edison's opponents aren't convinced.
These are our schools! We won't be run by corporate fools!
The extraordinary campaign by unions, teachers, and parent activists to keep Edison out of Philadelphia this summer, for example, failed, but not before they swooped down on Edison's New York City headquarters and had their say.
We don't want any for-profit company running our schools.
There is no question that we have been demonized in the last year. I mean, there's no other word to attach to it.
Again, Chris Whittle.
It's been very damaging. It's clearly had an effect on our stock price.
Edison's contract to run 20 schools in Philadelphia this fall is the biggest contract of its kind ever in public education. But it was a huge disappointment on Wall Street because the contract was so much smaller than what Edison had promised. Edison's stock plummeted to less than $1 a share, down from the company's all-time high of nearly $39 per share. The question on Wall Street, how long before Edison folds?
I don't believe the Edison story is over. It may be down, but it's not out.
Trace Urdan is an analyst with Think Equity Partners, an institutional investment research firm based in San Francisco.
Edison is still very much the leader. I mean, Edison still has more schools than anyone else. Edison is still a pioneer. And I think that all of the companies behind Edison have benefited, certainly, from Edison's taking all of the heat. And I think that will, in the end, turn out to represent an investment that will ultimately be worthwhile.
Like many analysts, though, Urdan says he would not be surprised if Edison shut down as a publicly traded company and then came back as a private business, selling specialized services to school districts. Edison has, in fact, created Edison Affiliates to do precisely that. If Chris Whittle set out to transform American public education, he fell short. But he has raised an important question. If people are so quick to reject a private company that did not meet their expectations, why do they tolerate public schools that consistently fail to educate children? Claudia Sanchez, NPR News.